I've paid my ransom. Yeah, it's this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
God, we praise you because of this very thing, because of Jesus' death and his resurrection, the price that he paid, that we are set free. We are right before you. And so, God, this morning, as your people gathered here, we celebrate that. And we thank you, and we bless you, and we give our hearts to you, and we lift our voices to worship you, because you are a good God. And so, Lord, with full hearts now, we invite you to speak to us. Father, open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what you want to say to us this morning. God, that you may be glorified in our lives and among us together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Shay, worship team. Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to have you here if you're a guest today. My name is Jonathan. I'm the lead pastor here. And we have been, since January, walking through a series in the Gospel of Mark called Follow Me. But today we're going to pause in that series because today I want to talk to you about what God is doing here among us, what he's done this past year among us, and where we believe he is calling us this coming year. And the reason why we want to talk about that today is because today is the day of our annual general meeting. And if you've never been to an annual general meeting, it's just our yearly opportunity to gather as a church and to talk about some of the business, the budget and the board and, you know, some of those details, but also to remember and to talk about what God is doing and where he's leading us. And so if you've never been to the AGM, I want to invite you to come right after service. It's not just for members, although they vote, but everyone is welcome to come and to participate. But today we want to talk together about what God has done this past year and where he's taking us next. And you know, when I think about this past year, I think about the verses of Paul that he wrote in the letter to the Philippians. Paul wrote this a beautiful letter to this church in Philippi in northern Greece, and this is what he says. He says, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul writes to this beautiful church. He loves this church and he says, look, thank you for your partnership. This isn't just me trying to do this and you just watching. This is us together accomplishing what God has called us to do. And then he goes on to say, and there's the thing, God started this. God began it, and what he began, he will clearly carry on and continue until that day when he returns. And so that in many ways describes what I think God is doing here. There's this beautiful partnership together as we pursue the gospel. And what God began many years ago in this church, he continues even in this day. And so this morning, I want to begin by reminding you of some of the ways that God is working among us and how we're seeing him grow in all kinds of little ways. First of all, we're seeing God grow the number of people who are being engaged in community. To be engaged in community simply means to be connected with a few other believers around here, a few other people that know one another and care for one another and encourage one another as they walk together. And while Sunday mornings is important, and in fact it is important that you come, there's something about coming together and worshiping together and sitting under the preaching of God's word together. And you should make Sunday morning a regular standing commitment in your calendar. Says, I'm going to come. But as important as that is, a lot of what the Bible describes about being part of the church happens in the context of a small group of people who know one another and who are doing life together. They're caring for one another and praying together and serving together and strengthening one another. And again, this year, we've seen God work that among us. There's four or five new community groups that started over the course of this past year, and just shy of 200 people that currently attend a community group, as well as all sorts of people that are connected in a variety of other places. And if you're not engaged in some sort of community around here, if you're not known and connected, I want to encourage you. You need to get involved. This is part of what it means to be part of the church and part of our church. And we want you to participate with us. So we're seeing growth in community. We're also seeing growth in serving. You know, the number of people who are serving around here continues to grow. And what's so exciting about that is it hasn't just been the same group. You know, sometimes it's like, well, this person is serving here and here. Let's just ask them to serve here too. And they're saying, oh man, that's a lot. And what we've seen over this past year is that there are people that are kind of on the periphery, a little bit on the edge. They're like, I think I've got something that can, you know, that can serve here, but I don't know if they need me. I don't know if there's a place. And we've seen as God has invited them, as we've invited them to step forward and to step into the place and to use the gifts that God has given them. And it's just been exciting as all these people have stepped up to join us and to serve together, to see the mission that God has given us go forward. And so again, at this point, the last time we checked, over 50% of the people in our church were actively involved in serving in some way around here or connected to the church. And of course, many of you are also involved in serving in the community. And that's just as valid. We want to be a people who are serving for the sake of the kingdom. That's been a beautiful area of growth too. Another beautiful area of growth has been in our giving. And again, this is a result of God's grace to us. It's a result of your commitment to regularly and faithfully and generously give to the work that God is doing here. You know, between the giving in 2018 and 2019, we saw about a 10% growth, and that's fantastic. That, along with the hard work of our board and our staff to keep our costs under control, meant that this past year, we were not only able to carry on our ministries, but to grow the ministry that God has given us, and at the same time, to pay down a large portion of our short-term debt, our line of credit, and to continue to make improvements to this building. This is God's goodness, His grace to us. And our building actually happens to be one of the larger costs that we have. And so let me just update you a little bit about what's happening for this beautiful building that God has given us. Most of you know that we are in a building campaign to redo, to refinish the outside of our building. And as of January 1st, there's already $1 million that's been raised towards that. And we're so grateful for that. But we continue to raise funds because it will clearly cost more than $1 million to fix the outside of the building. But here's why we're doing it. First of all, because it's good stewardship. Because God has given us His building and it's just good to care for it. You know, in January, it snowed. And when it snowed on our roof, the downspouts plugged up and the water rose and water ran into this building everywhere. There's about 2 days where we as staff said, oh, look, there's water. We put a bucket to catch it. And we said, hey, there's water over here. We're vacuuming up the water over here. And then someone said, oh, there's water leaking in the balcony. And I mean, the balcony and downstairs and the lobby and everywhere, the place leaks like a sieve. We need to take good care of it. We need to fix it. That's simply good stewardship of what God has given us. But just as importantly, by fixing our building, we're sending a message to our neighbors and to our city. Because you see, every day when thousands of people drive by our building and they see it's a little bit worn, a little bit run down, a little bit in need of care, the impression that it gives them is that there must not be something very important going on there. There must not be much happening there. In fact, people begin to think, man, that place is just slowly dying. And if we just wait long enough, they'll take a bulldozer and bulldoze it down and build some beautiful new condos. Right? I mean, that's what they think. And in fact, that isn't the case, is it? What we're doing here is important. It's vital. And we're not slowly dying. We're beginning to grow and we're beginning to fill the place. And by taking care of our building, we communicate that there is stuff happening here. And not only that, but that we're going to communicate to our city that we are an active part of our community. And we plan to be more active in our community. And certainly part of what's going on. And by refreshing and updating, we communicate that. And we say to our community, you're welcome here. We're part of what's happening here. But it's not only the outside of our building that needs a little love and care, it's also the inside. And we are also slowly but steadily working on the inside. And we're doing this because on the inside our building is getting a little older, but also because we're using our building more and more all the time. Our building on any given week has hundreds of people coming in and out of it. You know, Mondays is Celebrate Recovery, and Tuesdays is Junior Youth as well as Petals, and Wednesdays is Senior Youth, and Thursdays is classes and worship practice, and Fridays is sometimes seniors' lunches and other things, and Saturdays is funerals and weddings and training seminars, and Sunday is worship, and Sunday afternoon is the Korean ministry downstairs. And the building is full, and it's busy. In fact, sometimes we're bumping up against one another. You know, Dr. John Neufeld started a class on Tuesday nights downstairs in our little boardroom. It didn't take long that grew. It wasn't room for that, and so we needed bigger space. The problem was that Tuesday nights is when our junior youth is also meeting in the building, and it's growing, and it's grade 5 to 7, and they need a lot of space because they run around, they're noisy, you know, they just need space. And so where to go? And it ends up that Dr. John's class meets right here in the sanctuary on a Tuesday night. Now, that's not ideal. It's a big room. It's a big group, but not that big. But they do it because they want to make space for our junior youth to be able to run and to grow and to make all the noise that they do, even as they're hearing the message of the gospel. And in turn, the junior youth try to be quiet when they're up here, right? Because they want to honor what's happening here. And in both cases, the gospel is being proclaimed and people are growing in their faith, and we're growing, but we're bumping into one another. It's a good thing though. And so over this past year, we have steadily fixed the interior of our building. We repainted the lobby. We moved the place where children's check-in is to make it easier for families to get to. We moved the giving station. We painted the whole lobby. We updated the signage in the building. We moved the library out from this sort of room and put it out in the lobby and the hallways where it's more accessible for people to see and to be able to use those resources. We took that room that was the library and we turned it into a place where it serves our hospitality teams on a Sunday morning. It's used when there's funerals here so that families have a quiet place to wait before and after the service. It's a place where we have regular prayer meetings and other meetings, and it's become this beautiful space. Not only that, we've updated and renovated the children's classrooms upstairs, renovated and updated the reception downstairs, and fixed all kinds of lighting around this place. And it makes a difference, and it's a beautiful thing. But as our ministries continue to grow, we will need to continue to update the interior of our building. Areas like the kitchen, which is used all the time, it needs to be updated. And the lower auditorium, where our youth and our children now meet regularly, that's going to need to be updated too, because both of those ministries continue to grow. Let me tell you about youth, for example. Our youth ministry, our junior youth, has 30 students in it, and our senior youth has 20 students, but there's steady growth in that ministry. And we believe, we're praying that it won't be too long before we have regularly 100 students coming here to hear the gospel and to be connected. And so we just need to keep making that space work for the growth that we're seeing. And there are other places to update too, bathrooms and some other places as well. All of which will take time. We need to do it carefully and wisely and within our means. But as we grow, we need to continue to care for this beautiful place that God has given us. So all that to say this, thank you for your giving. Thank you for your generosity, for your faithfulness as we give towards not just the building is only the tool, but ultimately towards the ministry that happens in this place. And if you're a regular attender of our church, if you say, I identify myself as someone who's following Jesus, and this is my home church, but you're not giving, could I ask you to please start giving towards the ministry that God has called us to here? You know, that's always a stretch. You're like, we're already tight. The invitation to say, God, I'm going to trust you. It's not going to be a lot, but I'm going to say, I'm going to regularly give a percentage, even if it's like 2% or 3% or 5%, whatever it is. God, I'm going to trust you. And I want to invite you, if you're not, to start this coming paycheck. Say, God, we're going to trust you in this because we're participating in the ministry of what's happening here. We're growing in our area of giving, and we praise God for that. We're also beginning to grow in our overall numbers. The number of people of all ages who are joining our church continues to grow. And if you're new here in this last year, we want to say to you, welcome. I mean, we're so glad that you're joining us here, and you're joining a group of people who have been so committed to the gospel for many, many years. And we just invite you, get connected. Join us in the mission that God is calling us to do here. And to those of you who have been here for years, thank you for so graciously welcoming new people into our midst. Not every church does that. It means, new people means that the parking lot is fuller. It means that the pews are filling up. That means that, that's a good thing. It means it sings better when we're all together, not scattered everywhere. There's more energy in the room. But it also means that, you know, you have to shuffle in a little bit. You might have to, excuse the, people as they come by. You might have to come a little earlier. And maybe, and this might be hard for some of you, it might be that somebody, you come in here and somebody is sitting in your seat. Oh, you know it's not yours, but it is yours, right? If someone is sitting in your seat, you take that as a sign from God that He wants you to sit in a different seat. Okay? This is good news, what God is doing, right? We just keep growing. And you need to know that each Sunday, every Sunday for months now, there are new people in our church on a Sunday morning, some whom God has brought from other churches, but very regularly there are people who have never been in church before. Some just show up. God's at work in their life. They're like, we just want to explore who God is and what it means to follow Jesus. And others come who haven't been in church for years. Sometimes because they've had a hard experience sometime in their past and they've been so deeply hurt. And it's a risk for them to say, we're going to come. We're going to check it out. And others are making connections through the ministries that we're doing. You know, this past December, we got a phone call from a family in our community. They don't necessarily attend church anywhere. And they said, it's Christmas. We want to serve, people in need somewhere. And we said, oh, we've got our Petals ministry. It happens on Tuesday nights. It serves, some of the families in our community. And they said, okay, we'll come. And they came, and the husband worked in the dish pit, and the wife and their kids served the family, and they were blown away. They're like, we had no idea this is going on here. And we made some good connections, and we invited them back. They came back for Christmas Eve, and now they're just making some connections. They're just checking it out. But God is opening the doors for them to come. And others have come because you've invited them. And let me remind those of you who've been in church an awful lot how intimidating it is to come into a church or, any place of worship for the first time if you don't know anything about it. There's all kinds of questions. Like, what will happen in there? And how do I dress? And will everyone look at me because I'm new? And will I know how to act? And, will it be okay? And when you invite somebody, that makes such a difference. It just lowers the barriers. They say, okay, I know you. You're normal. We'll be okay, right? Thank you for inviting. We have all kinds of people who are coming and exploring who Jesus is, what the gospel is about. And if that's you, I want to say to you, welcome here. This is a good place to explore questions of spirituality and life and the meaning of it. And we just want you to know you're so welcome here. So we're growing in the number of people who come. But probably what we're most excited about is we continue to grow in opportunities to connect with people in our community and to build relationships with them and to invite them also to investigate who Jesus is, what it means to follow Him. Our kids' night out happens once a month. 35 to 50% and sometimes more of the kids who come Kids Night Out come from our community. They come from homes where people don't regularly go to church. Our junior youth ministry, 60% of those kids, more than half, come from the community. In our senior youth, 25% of the students who come from our community. We have Alpha, again, where adults come, and it's just an opportunity to hear and to think about and to ask questions and to explore what the gospel is all about. And this week, beginning this week at Garibaldi High School, we're starting a youth alpha led by students. Yeah, praise God, right? This is good news. And we want to pray for them because they're inviting their friends to come and to explore what the Bible says. At the same time, we're also training and working towards the possibility, and again, we want to pray about it, of starting youth alpha in September at Thomas Haney. Yeah, amen, the Thomas Haney crowd, right? In all these different places, God is opening doors for us to share the good news of the gospel. In all these little ways, it's starting to happen. You know, I was talking to someone the other day about all this, and they said, you know what it feels like? I said, what? They said, it feels like, you know, when you make popcorn, you put all the kernels in there, and then you begin to apply heat, and there's sort of this whirring sound, and then there's like a pop, and another pop, and then a little more pop, pop, pop. And he's like, oh, you know what's coming, right? I mean, all of a sudden, it's just going to pop, 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 and it's just going to, it feels like we're at that stage here where it's like pop, 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 and God is doing a little bit more and a little bit more, and we're excited for what God's doing. Now, I looked in the Bible. Jesus nowhere talks about popcorn. But there was a place in his ministry where this was starting to happen. And I want us to spend a few moments looking at it. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9. And if you read through Matthew chapter 9, it describes all these little places in the ministry of Jesus where it's kind of like going pop, 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 pop. Starts with a paralytic who is healed. And then the next little story is about a guy who you'd never dream would follow Jesus. He's a tax collector named Matthew, who ended up writing the Gospel of Matthew. He said, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. And after that, a group of people came to Jesus and said, we want to follow God. We have questions about fasting. And Jesus began to disciple them about how to fast. And then there's a story about a lady who was healed and a young girl who was raised up. And then another story about two blind guys who were healed. And then a mute who couldn't speak that Jesus healed. And it's just like this. It's pop, 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 pop. And it's starting to happen. And what Matthew tells us next is so interesting. And we want to spend a few moments. It's Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35 to 38. Matthew says this. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Jesus sees all this kind of pop, pop, pop happening. And he gives instructions, but it's interesting to note, first of all, where this is happening. In verse 35, it says, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages. Now, you need to know this. This was the region of Galilee. He wasn't in the cities of Rome, Alexandria, which is the great educational center in Egypt. Wasn't in Damascus, this administrative center. I mean, he wasn't even in Jerusalem at this time. The cities and villages were like these kind of smaller places. Places like Maple Ridge, Pitt Meadows, Wanak. I mean, this is where Jesus starts his ministry, and it's where he does the majority of his ministry on earth. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't come for those who lived in those big cities, but you need to know that Jesus is passionate about bringing life and the message of the gospel to the kind of places like we live in. And as we look back on what God has done this past year, and as we look forward to where God is leading us, here's the first thing that you need to know, that we need to know, and we need to believe it passionately and deeply. Jesus loves Maple Ridge, and Pitt Meadows, and Wanak, and Langley, and even Surrey, and Mission. I mean, Jesus loves our cities more than we imagine. He loves those who are following him. He loves those who are far from him. He loves those who don't even know about him. He loves those who sell us our groceries and teach our children and pave our roads. He loves the neighbors next to you and the people across town that you've never met. And he loves the people who stumble around our building sometimes, so lost in addiction and brokenness. And they too, like us, need to know the message of the gospel. God loves Maple Ridge, and if we are going to accomplish what he is calling us to, we need to know that and believe that deeply, deeply in our hearts. And then Matthew goes on to say this. He says, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, and then he says, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. See, wherever Jesus went, he proclaimed that God was on the move, that the kingdom of God was breaking into a world that is broken and hurting and lost, and that through Jesus there would be healing and hope and new life. That's the message of the gospel. I mean, the message is this, that God created this earth. He created you and I. And when he originally created it, it was perfect and good in every way. But we chose to sin. We chose to rebel against him. And as a result, there's been all this heartache and brokenness and sin in the world. And so Jesus sent his own son to come and to live among us and to walk in the little places like Pitt Meadows and Maple Ridge and to share the good news that he was going to make a way. And then he suffered on a cross and died and rose again so that we might have life. Listen, that message, that's the gospel. And that's not some relic from the past that is slowly fading away as our culture becomes more and more enlightened and we just solve all our problems. Simply isn't the case. The need for the gospel today is just as great, if not greater, than it has ever been. The good news of Jesus is that you don't have to figure out this life all on your own. It's not all on you whether you make it or not. You need God in your life. And if you trust him, he will lead you to the kind of fullness of life that only he can give. See, here's the second thing that we need to be convinced of in our heart, both individually and corporately together as a church, and that's this. The gospel changes lives. The gospel changes people's lives. You have to believe that. You have to know that. It's what Jesus is all about. Goes on to say this in verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. When Jesus came to those places, when he met the people, he had compassion on them. That simply means he felt for them. He understood the pressures that they faced and the questions that they had and the heartache and the brokenness that they struggled with and the fear that they wrestled with when no one was looking. He had compassion on them. Compassion, the English word comes from a Latin word that, two Latin words, the first part come meaning with and the second part meaning passio meaning suffer, to suffer with, to walk with, to understand. And here's what we need to remember. Here's what you need to understand. Jesus' mission, his ministry, flowed out of his compassion for the people in the world around him. Jesus never came with the attitude like, oh, look at those sinners with their messed up world and all the things they're doing wrong, and I'm going to save them. He came with a heart of compassion because he cared deeply for them and the things that they were struggling with. The same should be true for us. God has given us a mission to reach our community, and we need to know this. Our mission begins with compassion. In the past, the church, not necessarily this church, but the church in general, has often tried mission out of frustration or anger or out of some sort of sense of superiority, looking down like we're so much better than everyone else around us. We're going to help you. That's never worked. It never will work. Because that's not how Jesus did his ministry. Jesus came with incredible compassion. His heart felt for, he hurt for these people. The question is this, where in your world do you feel that kind of compassion? I mean, where, if you think in your life, where is it like, oh, I know, I understand. Man, my heart goes out to this, either an individual or maybe a group. I mean, you know, maybe it's like when you look around where you live, where we live, you say, man, my heart goes out to the teachers. I mean, it's not an easy world that they have. Or it goes out to the first responders. I mean, I see them, their sirens bracing somewhere, facing some kind of, man, my heart just goes out to them. Or maybe it's to, you know, the youth in our city or the young families or the homeless. I mean, the question is, where is your heart saying, man, I feel for them. I can't imagine how hard that is. Because you see, wherever that is, that's where Christ is calling you to bring the message of the gospel, to love on, to care for that particular crowd. And if you don't have some place like that, you need to pray and say, God, give me compassion for somebody or some group. Because otherwise, it's easy for your world to be simply all about you. Mission flows from compassion. And Jesus, when he sees our city, When he sees our neighbors and our coworkers, he has this deep, deep compassion for them. And so Jesus looks at the crowds where he is, and he says then to his disciples this. In verse 37, he says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Jesus says to his disciples, "Look around you. Look how great the needs are. I mean, look how many people don't know the good news." He says, "There's not very many of you guys." That is true, isn't it? I mean, in this town alone, there's thousands and thousands of people who don't know the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's actually not that many of us. In fact, the church in Maple Ridge, in general, isn't particularly big. And when we hear, you know, the message to go, often we can feel overwhelmed by that. Like it's impossible. And frankly, it will be. Except if God is involved. Then all things are possible. So, Jesus says, look, there's a lot. There's a huge need. There's not many of you. And so, his response is then not to say, go right away. Doesn't take long, but he says that. But he says right away, he says, start by praying. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. You see, if we think that we're going to accomplish the mission that God, that Jesus has given us for our city in our own strength without God working it for us, we're just simply foolish. I mean, it will never happen. But when we pray, we acknowledge that in fact, God is doing the work. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's already at work in the lives of all kinds of people in our city. And what we're doing is simply coming along and joining him. And so when we pray, we acknowledge, God, we're joining you in the work that you're already doing in people's lives. But that means that we need to pray. We need to pray more than we are. Frederick Bruner writes this, "Where there is prayer, there is mission. It's as simple as that. Where there is little prayer, there is little mission. A creeping death sweeps over the mission of many churches in our time because quite simply, they have stopped praying. And beneath the death of prayer, at the deeper level, lies the death of a real belief that only Jesus literally saves people. Faith in Christ as sole Savior is the mother of prayer, and prayer is the mother of mission. We need to be praying for our city." You know, I was talking to Pastor Dan about these youth alphas that are going to start at Garibaldi High School and, God willing, at Thomas Haney. And he said, oh, yeah, we're working on that. But he said, one of the things that we're doing right now is we're starting prayer groups within the school or near the school, depending on how we can do that. Because he said, as we've done youth alpha over the years, those who have done it say, where the most fruitful, where the lives are most profoundly changed, is where there has been prayer for 3, 4, 5 years. And the fruit then comes out of the prayer that has happened. Hayden Robinson, pastor, teacher, once said this, "Prayer is the battle. Ministry is the gathering of the spoils." We need to pray more for our city. So can I ask you this? When you pray, you know, when you pray on your own, you've got your list, you know, you're praying for your work and your family and maybe for, you know, this or that. Or when you gather in your community groups and you're like, you know, I pray for my aunt, pray for, you know, this situation in our world and that. Would you, if you're not already, would you also pray for our city? Would you also just regularly pray for Maple Ridge or Mission or wherever it is that you're living and say, God, please work here? And if God has put a certain compassion in your heart for a group of certain people, would you pray for them? We need to continue to pray and pray more as a church. Because out of that, God opens up all kinds of doors. And of course, Jesus says, as you pray, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, workers. So interesting. You know, Jesus could have used all kinds of different words. He could have said, pray to the Lord of harvest to send out leaders. Or pray to send out, you know, mighty spiritual theologians that can answer every question that someone has. Or he might have said, pray for super charismatic personalities that everyone just is like, I love listening to them. It's not what he says, is it? He says, pray for workers. Because you see, God's already got the harvest going. It's not super fancy work. It's not like you need to know everything and be able to answer all the questions. You just need to be faithful. So, that might mean simply inviting someone to church. Saying, hey, we're going to church on Sunday. Why don't you join us? Like, that's it. Or it might be, you know, when you're talking about some kind of circumstance in your life, not just saying, oh, we had a hard time in our life, but we made it through. But saying, you know, we struggled, but it was our faith in Jesus that helped us as we walked through this. Or explaining, look, we live this way, or we're doing that, not just because, but because of Jesus in our life, because we're trying to follow him. It doesn't have to be fancy, but you know, where God is at work in someone's life, that will resonate in a powerful way. They'll be like, I heard it here, and I heard it here, and I heard it here. Maybe I'm going to explore. And where God isn't working in their life, I mean, they'll be like, okay, good for you. It'll be water off a duck's back. But the call for us is to simply be faithful to what God is already doing and to join him. And the other thing you need to know is this. Where Jesus says that we should pray to the Lord of harvest that he would send out laborers, it's fascinating the word that Jesus used for send out. In English, it's kind of, you know, gentle. But in Greek, the word that Jesus used is the same word that is used elsewhere in all of the Gospel of Matthew for the word cast out, as in cast out demons. So, when Jesus says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out, he's literally saying, pray to the Lord of the harvest to thrust out workers into the harvest field. And this is the idea. Jesus is saying that in every church, there are plenty of workers. Just pray that God would thrust us out of our comfort zone and launch us into this adventure of what he calls us to so that we might engage in the mission that he calls us to. When he prays for that, he's talking about you and I, about us. So here's the last point that we need to see. Each of us is expected to join the work that God is doing. Now again, that doesn't mean that you need to be some wild evangelist downtown on street corners, you know, collaring people as they come by. It simply means that wherever God has put you, you need to be faithful to be involved in the mission that he has given us. Jesus expects each and every one of us to join in the mission that he has given us. Because you see, that's why we're growing. And in fact, that's why we need to continue to grow. Because God loves Maple Ridge and all of these surrounding cities. And because the gospel changes lives. And God, in his goodness, has given us this big, big building in the very heart of the city. And we need to see it filled with people from all ages and stages and backgrounds, hearing and knowing and following Jesus and having him in our life. And we want this place to be known in our city as a place of service and a place of love and hope that is found in Jesus. And a place where there's compassion, where there's grace and grit, and where when people come, they find not shame and guilt, but rather hope and new life. I mean, we want to see hundreds and hundreds of people in our city be changed by the power of Jesus in their life. That's why we do everything that we do, because Jesus has done that in our life. That's why we plan, it's why we work, why we give, why we pray, and then why we act and trust him in all of that. That's why we need to be at work in the harvest fields of Maple Ridge. You know, the founders of our church, over 100 years ago, on the very first service that they had, very first time that this church gathered to worship God and hear the word, they sang a song, Fanny Crosby Hymn. And the beginning of every verse in that hymn began with this phrase, to the work, to the work. To the harvest that is out there. God has always called this church. And God has called you and I, us together, at this stage in the history of our church, to work together to see the kingdom of God work in our city. That's where we're going to go, by the grace of God. Would you stand with me? We want to pray together. We want to invite the worship team to come. We're going to close by worshiping together. But I want to invite you to bow your heads with me. And I'm actually going to give you a moment of silence to pray. And as, you know, as just kind of a moment to quietly pray, I want you to ask God, where is it, God, that you're talking in my life? I mean, is today, you know, is God talking to you like, you need to be engaged in community around you. You need to find that place. Or is God saying to you today, you got to serve. You know, you've got these gifts, these talents that God's given you, and that you need to join the mission that He's called us to. Maybe today God is convicting you, you need to give. You need to be like, you know, we haven't, we're just going to. And maybe He's convicting you, saying, look, you need to commit to pray regularly for our city. And of course, to be open to wherever God calls you to serve. So I'm just going to give you a moment, and then I'm going to close in prayer, and then the worship team is going to lead us. Oh God, we come to You this morning, and God, we thank You for what You've done in our lives. God, we thank You for Jesus and how He has made a difference, how He's changed us and continues to change and grow us. And Father, it's Your grace and Your goodness to us. But God, it's not just for us. It is for so many in our city, in our community, in our workplaces. God, so many who You already are at work in, and You're calling us to serve and to reach and to call. And Father, this morning we pray for our city. God, we pray that You would draw so many to You. Pray that You would draw those who are lost and looking and needing, and Father, who need the life that was found in Jesus. But God, may You use us. In fact, God, we know it's Your plan to use us. And so, Lord, for each of us today, wherever You're calling us, Lord, may we be faithful. God, may we be obedient. God, may we step forward to do what it is that You're calling us to do. And so, God, we commit again. We're going to follow Jesus. We're going to do what He calls us to. And we're going to trust Him. So we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to end by reading you these words from the book of Ephesians. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to His power at work in us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.